Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, per usual. We're here recording on Wednesday, April 29th, and NFL draft was last week. Some news has come out regarding European soccer we're going to talk about. We are struggling to find things to talk about, but next week we're interviewing, or scheduled to interview, so I guess pending, but the dietitian from the Texas Tech basketball programs, both men and women. So I think that'll be really interesting to hear from him. And Texas Tech, the men's team, went to the national championship a year ago. So it'll be cool to hear what he has to say. Again, that's next week, not this week. But Matt, I think you'll be even more interested in me because you're into that nutrition, dietitian, stuff like that.
Yeah, that was my major once upon a time that I didn't finish.
Matt had about 9 majors at BYU.
Yeah. Just couldn't make up my mind.
There's a lot of exciting stuff going on.
Yeah.
No, I feel that.
So anyway, but yeah, no, that food stuff is cool. So that should be good.
I'm excited to hear from him. So that'll be cool. That's next week. And this week, we're really scraping the bottom of the barrel here. So we're doing another NFL draft thing. Just talk about some of our favorite, least favorite things. That'll probably only be like 20 minutes or so. But I think that we need to start with soccer just because the French League, and you know more about this than me, but France shut down all professional sports until September, including their highest soccer league. So as far as I'm aware, Matt, that was the first European major soccer league to shut down and not finish their season. Everyone else is still determining what they're going to do. But France did not finish their season and we'll start again in September. So we haven't figured out how that affects Champions League and everything like that. Or I haven't, at least. You might have.
Yeah, no, Champions League, they're still undecided, although they're keeping this in mind because, you know, if you can't play games in France, and France, I assume PSG is into the whatever round we're in, and so obviously, you know, that can't work, and you don't want to play the home games for them in a different country because that's not necessarily fair, and then you have the French people, like Europe is a lot smaller, it's easier for people to travel, so like fans of PSG could travel to Germany, see that game, and then bring the coronavirus back, and you know, that's obviously not what they want. But the reason that I actually wanted to talk about this, I thought it was interesting, is the Dutch League, I believe, announced a few days before that they were suspending their season, and with that, they made the decision that there's going to be no promotion or relegation. So, which I think, you know, we've talked about promotion or relegation on this podcast before, but I know some people aren't really into soccer. So basically what that means is you have the highest division and then the second division, and then there might be 2 or 3 divisions underneath that. But for our purposes, if you're in the top 2 or 3 in the Dutch, in the second division in the Dutch league, you get to move up to the professional league. It would be like if a AAA baseball team got to move up to major league. And this is really important because you make like 5-10 times amount of money. You can sign a lot better players, more fans come to the games, you get better TV deals. And so it really, really stinks for those 2 or 3 teams that were going to get promoted that will not be. As well as it's kind of a nice break for those teams that were going to in the top division who are going to finish in the bottom 2 or 3 and move down. Now they get an extra year in the top division. And I just because the money involved in this and investors and, you know, players' career plans, like I don't think that that's the right way to handle this.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, you're going to upset some people no matter what, but it's so much money involved is the hard thing. And if you decide to cancel a season, that's great. But like keeping your European soccer and really everywhere but the United States soccer is based on the idea of promotion and relegation. And that's like the lifeblood of these businesses. And that's what the teams are spending insane amounts of money just to get promoted. So it like pays off in a sense. So if you're a team at the top of the Dutch league, top of the French, like the second league, and you didn't get promoted, I would be furious. That's honestly, I think it's worse big picture wise than losing like a league title.
And oh, as far as how it affects your future, absolutely.
Yeah, because it obviously sucks, and like technically there's more money if you win a title than if you get promoted, but like proportionally and like relative to what you're gaining or losing, I think being promoted is so much more meaningful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's thing, and I just feel like there's other things that you could do, you know? I mean, a playoff, you know, I know playoffs don't work in soccer as well as they do in other sports, but it would at least be something. I heard the idea on the Total Soccer Show, which is, if you want a podcast that's focused on soccer, that's a great one to listen to. But one of the ideas they suggested is that you, whenever you are able to resume playing soccer, you just start from there and finish the season. So let's say you had 2 months left, you start in July, you finish in September. Then he said this idea was, is that you take, you know, 1 or 2 months off for the next season, however much, just do your regular off season. And then next year you have a shortened season that's only 15, 20 games or whatever, because you've only got 4 or 6 months. But it's fair because everybody's going into it and they know, okay, we've only got 20 games to get ourselves promoted or stay away from relegation or whatever. This way, obviously, you know, you want to play and you want to win to the best of your abilities. But like this way, everybody's kind of got the same shot. Everybody's playing the same amount of games. And so that's personally what I think would be better. I know that it kind of screws things up more long term, but it's, I think it would be more fair.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's hard to not do that. And I think these leagues are trying to just get it over with and back to normal as quickly as possible, where I think big picture wise, it would be better to, it's kind of, I mean, not to, obviously real life and death is much more important than this, but in a sense, like flattening the curve, quote unquote, like all the social distancing we're doing, that's just to keep hospitals like not overwhelmed. And yeah, it's technically going to take longer than if we weren't doing anything, but it's just so much easier when you're flattening it and not like overwhelming the healthcare system. With soccer, I think they're doing more damage by just getting it all over with instead of they drug it out, I think. Did that make any sense at all, what I just said?
Yeah, I thought that was a socially relevant analogy that you just made.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
And, I looked it up, by the way. You're right. PSG still is in the Champions League. There's 12 teams left. It sounds like what PSG, Paris Saint-Germain's president, has said is it sounds like they're just going to play neutral or all road games or something like that till they figure it out. Because it sounds like PSG can play, just not in France.
Right. So that, I think, like, I still feel like you're going to have people from France, like, unless they really close down the borders, which doesn't seem very likely, you're gonna have fans go get sick and come back or whatever. So if you're really trying not to do this, then I don't think that works. But I guess, you know, this might be weirdly be a situation where UEFA can kind of go over the French government's head.
Sorry, hiccups. But yeah, you're right. Like, sorry, you talk for a second, I have hiccups.
Well, I mean, that was That was kind of my main point of the interesting thing I wanted to bring up. Now here's another scenario that I think I believe it could become relevant in the, it's either the French league or the German league. I forgot which one, but they have. But I'm sure it's actually probably relevant in several leagues. Let's say that you are the last team that's going to get relegated. You're close to safety, but you're not quite there. But the reason you're there is because you've played one less game than the team ahead of you. So, like, theoretically, you could play another game, get in. But I heard that some of those teams, they might just say, hey, sorry, we know you didn't have as many opportunities to get points as the other team, but you're still going to have to get relegated. To me, that would be the most grievous out of all of these mistakes that you could make.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And hiccups are gone, by the way. But no, I agree with you. for sure. So I'm interested to see how Germany, England, and Spain in particular, but really the rest of soccer react. Because the NBA is coming back. Hypothetically, they're scheduled to reopen their facilities May 8th if they're not in a state that or city that has banned that. So it sounds like the NBA might be coming back and trying to figure out their season. And I saw, Matt, did you see this? Like, hypothetically, they could do it all at Disney World.
That'd be fun. Yeah, I've seen, I heard Las Vegas, and I mean, I feel like half of the players are like, oh, thank goodness we don't have to do it in Vegas. We get to do it in Disney World. And the other half have the complete opposite reaction where they would rather be in Vegas.
Well, I mean, Vegas, you can't really do anything. You can't really, the thing is, you can't do anything in either place. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, I guess that's true. So I guess it sort of doesn't matter. I feel like,
unless they open the park for the NBA players and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, Florida has trees and grass.
And crocodiles.
And crocodiles. So that's a point against it. I would still probably rather be in Florida just for the climate. Because they're both hot. But yeah. Florida, you know, it rains. It's humid. Some people, you know, don't like the humidity. But I don't know. Vegas is, it gets really hot in Vegas.
And Vegas has some, well, I live in Arizona, so I actually prefer that. But I think Vegas obviously has some nice courses. I think Florida would have more golf courses, though, than Vegas. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's true or not at all, because I know Vegas has some really nice ones, but in terms of quantity, I would lean the Orlando area would have more quantity-wise, at least.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. So,
but yeah, this has really gone down a path I didn't think it was going to, Orlando or Las Vegas debate. But yeah. No, I think it's swimming pool. Like, right now I'm in Arizona, the swimming pool's not open, so it does suck. Like, it's just hot. But if the swimming pool's open, a place like Arizona or Las Vegas is great, you know?
Uh-huh, yeah. No, that,
in my
opinion. And if they're doing that, like, if they're letting all the players be in the gym together, they might as well let them be in the pool together and stuff. And, like, if you have a hotel that is only for NBA players and their families, I feel like you can use some of those, you know, commodities maybe a little bit more than like a regular guest would be able to. Because like with a regular hotel, you don't know who's coming, who's going. But if it's just NBA players and they're all sorted together, you know, that I think could sort of work.
Yeah. Well, should we talk about the draft, Matt?
Let's talk about the draft. I don't think that either of us really got what we wanted.
No, personally, no. I thought it was an interesting draft. I mean, I'm not talking logistics-wise, although it was fun to see Bill Belichick has a worse kitchen than myself. But I thought it was interesting as far as the results. I thought what Cincinnati did was interesting. I thought with Cleveland. The Eagles actually were maybe the most interesting pick with Jalen Hurts. You just want to start there because that was interesting, and that's your favorite team anyway.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and start there. We got Jalen Hurts, who is a quarterback who transferred away from Alabama because he wasn't good enough at throwing the football, and then Oklahoma he did really good. And obviously, like, he can throw. I'm not suggesting that he move to wide receiver, but I don't know that I feel super confident that he's good enough at quarterback to play in the NFL. But that wasn't really my problem. I know that we need a backup quarterback, and, you know, especially you got Carson Wentz, you want a good backup quarterback. And if Doug Peterson thinks that he can you know, use him as a good backup quarterback, he's certainly been a quarterback guru. He's played, you know, and he and Andy Reid like to have quarterbacks who can run that zone read thing. So it's a good fit system-wise, even though there's some things to be skeptical about. We didn't have a quarterback yet at that point, and I thought that would have been a better pick.
At that point. Defensive corner.
Huh?
Like defensive cornerback.
Yes, defensive corner back. That's what I wanted, and I was disappointed we didn't get it in the second, or the third, or fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. We just never got one.
Yeah, here's the thing with Jalen Hurts. Like, from a throwing perspective, the two things I think, well, it's really one thing, but he hesitates. He doesn't really throw with anticipation, which in turn, this is why it's really more than one thing. But the other thing he does is he holds on to the ball too long, which can lead to sacks or him having to scramble and just kind of causes a mess on offense. So that 2-in-1 problem where he doesn't really throw with anticipation, the receiver kind of has to be open, which you're not going to get at the NFL level anyways, leads him to hold on to the ball too long, which leads to problems in protection, problems with just getting sacked in general. So that's kind of the problem with Hurts as a thrower. I do like the pick, though, because the Eagles, more than anybody, Matt, should appreciate a good backup quarterback. Carson Wentz had missed two of the last three playoffs and a lot of last year. I don't want to say a lot of last year, but he missed some of last year. So it's 3 years in a row he's missed at least some of the season of. And
yeah. No, yeah. We definitely need a backup quarterback for sure.
Like, I 100% understand wanting a different player there, but also, like, in a vacuum, just Hurts going to the Eagles, I think, is a good spot for him. I think it's great that he's going to get to play behind Carson Wentz. I think because they have a little bit different playing styles. So it'll be interesting for Hurts to learn what he does from Carson Wentz. Also, I'm interested to see what Peterson does because he is smart. And Jalen Hurts is a different runner. He's not like Taysom Hill. He's not like Lamar Jackson. He's physical. He's like a running back. He's built like a linebacker, if we're being honest, like how he's built. So I'm interested to see if and what packages they have for Jalen Hurts when he comes on the field.
Yeah. No, it'd be – I mean, I am curious. He's definitely a good football player, and I think he can do, you know, some of that stuff. You know, to be clear when we do the comparisons, Taysom Hill is a freak. Like, when he was at BYU, he would squat more than the linemen, like Jalen Hurts is good and he's going to be able to do some good stuff, but he's not Taysom Hill. Like that's what I was saying when I'm not saying he should go to wide receiver. I don't think he's good enough at those things to switch different positions. His position should definitely be quarterback precisely because I don't think those other things should be like his main deal.
No, I'm interested to see what happens though. But Matt, my favorite pick for you guys, if you want to keep talking about Jalen Hurts, we can. But my favorite pick was Jalen Reagor, the receiver you got in the first round. I loved him. Out of like all the players I watched getting ready for the draft, he was probably my favorite player to watch. Just he's so explosive. Like, that's just the only word that comes to mind with Reagor. He can score in so many different ways. I thought he was the fourth best receiver in the draft and was the fourth best receiver taken. I think everyone talks about Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, CeeDee Lamb, the top three receivers. I think Reagor is closer to Ruggs than Ruggs is to the other two. I think Reagor and Ruggs are actually pretty similar talent-wise. They're a little different skill sets, but I think the drop-off isn't that far. So I think you got a great receiver there at the 21st pick overall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I know you were you were higher on him than a lot of the other experts were, which I've learned to trust your opinions. So that was interesting. But yeah, no, I thought, you know, he was a good pick. And like, I think, you know, other than not getting a cornerback, that's why I'm disappointed. Like, I liked all of the picks in and of themselves. I like that we got three different receivers. I like that we got a safety out of Clemson. We got a couple of linebackers. We got a tackle in the fourth round, which is nice. So it was overall good picks. I just feel like the biggest hole on the team for a couple of years has been cornerback, and I think defensive cornerback. So it's odd that we did not address that.
I agree with you. I wish the Eagles had more cornerbacks. Speaking of Eagles cornerbacks, man, should we talk about Dallas? Because that kind of goes hand in hand, I think.
Yeah, we can talk about them for a sec.
Because part of the reasons the Eagles need cornerbacks so bad is they can't cover Amari Cooper for the Cowboys. And the Cowboys just drafted CeeDee Lamb from Oklahoma. He fell to the 17th pick. And really, last year came down to Eagles-Cowboys. I think this year, again, the division will come down to Eagles-Cowboys. naturally the Cowboys are going to screw it up somehow. So I'm right now picking the Eagles to win that division. But the Eagles added Darius Slay, corner. He's from Detroit, in the offseason via free agency. The second cornerback spot is a huge question mark, like you said. And Dallas has three legit receivers. I think top to bottom, like one through three, they might be the best three receivers in the NFL in terms of Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Michael Gallup from Oklahoma, or not from Oklahoma, Colorado State. I think he's in his third year in the NFL right now. The thing about the Cowboys is, even with that, I think they're going to give Zeke the ball like 30 times a game and not take advantage of that receiving core. I think that's the best player for Philadelphia might be Ezekiel Elliott in a way.
Yeah, there's a good argument for that. And we're definitely better set up to stop him. I mean, I feel like if me and you realize that, you would think that the Cowboys would realize that as well and maybe pass more against us than they would against other teams. I feel like that's typically what happens, is teams will try to exploit the pass more than the run. But, the Cowboys had a very good draft. They got two cornerbacks.
Yeah, and I'm looking at their draft right now. Obviously, Lamb is a prized possession. I thought if the Trayvon Diggs from Alabama, if he would have gone in the 17th pick, I thought that would have been a good fit, and he could drop to them in the second round. So I really like those top two picks, honestly, for Dallas. Like, they did have a really good draft. And everyone else, like, Noah Gallimore, third-round defensive tackle, he's solid. Reggie Robinson from Tulsa, I don't like love, but he stalled fourth round, you know, worth it. Their other fourth round pick, Tyler Biadasz. He's a center from Wisconsin. And then they got Bradley and I from Utah in the fifth round, a defensive end. I thought those were two really good day three picks as well. I don't know anything about the quarterback they drafted in the seventh round, if I'm being honest with you, but I know Dallas had one of the best drafts, especially CeeDee Lamb and Trayvon Diggs. Because corner is such a liability for them. That's what the Eagles did. Because they got to be thinking, like, Dallas lost their best cornerback, Byron Jones, to Miami this offseason. And corner, especially next season, is going to be a huge liability for them. They added Jalen Reagor. They traded for Marquise Goodwin from San Francisco, who was hurt a little bit, but he's just one of those fast guys. He almost made the Olympics as a long jumper, you know, just one of those explosive athletes. Like, the Eagles got better at worst case. Even if they can't fix corner, they might just try to outscore everyone, even if they can't cover them. So I think the Eagles Cowboys games in particular are going to be pretty high scoring. But I think both those offenses are going to be much improved from last year. And to be honest, Matt, that whole division last year was pretty bad, kind of a crap show. So I think both Philly and Dallas can at least one of them, I think, can flirt. Well, I don't want to say 12. I think 10 wins and like 11 wins maybe if they have a good year, a few things go their way. But I think both those teams will be better than last year. I still think Philadelphia is going to be the better team, but Dallas did have a heck of a draft.
They did. Yeah, that will. It's you're right. We're not going to be a joke next year. We'll be a competent division. Washington will at least have Chase Young. So even though they're not going to be good, he's going to be fun to watch. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to being a real division again.
Yeah, and again, I'm sorry, I have the hiccups. I'll slash them like heartburn. I don't know why, but, you know, Matt, the teams I'm most interested in, I think, going into next year are Washington and Jacksonville. I think both those teams are in really similar spots because neither of them addressed quarterback. I don't think this is what's happening. Washington's rolling with Dwayne Haskins, who they drafted last year. Jacksonville is rolling with Gardner Minshew. I thought they got some pretty good players, some boomer bust players, but we'll see what happens, Matt, because both of them, I think those are the best teams in position, I think, to go after Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence, because they drafted around them. They drafted to build the foundation of their team. And if both, let's say Dwayne Haskins and or Gardner Minshew works out next year, great, problem solved. If they don't, they're probably going to be pretty bad and be in a good position to draft Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields, respectively.
Yeah. No, when you put it like that, it makes a lot of sense. And then you can at least still sell to your fans that you were trying to win, you know? But then if you lose, then you can be secretly happy about it.
Yeah, because I think this, when the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, when I guess the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl with Carson Wentz, but when he was on his rookie deal, when Russell Wilson was on his rookie deal, they already had these great teams around them. So a quarterback in year two, year three could be surrounded by this great talent. And I think Washington and Jacksonville are trying to position themselves similarly, where both teams still have a long way to go building the roster up. But if they can this year, next year, have players developed like at a bunch of core positions and really build that roster up, and then let's say year two, year three, Justin Fields or no Trevor Lawrence, and that roster is a lot more improved, that could be real dangerous.
Yeah, for sure. I see Washington being very good in a few years. And you know, Jacksonville, I know they've lost a lot of people in the last year. They had a lot of people trying to get out. Jalen Ramsey obviously left. But they've still got a lot of talent. They don't have to pay Nick Foles' salary anymore. Or they're not paying a lot of it anyway. I think they're still paying a little bit of it. So, they could be good. So, NFC East, and really, actually, that whole AFC South, I'm interested. Indianapolis had a really good draft. Jacksonville's going to be good. The Texans are not going to be good, but the Titans theoretically should have another good year. So, we could see a lot of power balance change in the NFL in the next year or two.
You know what's dumb, Matt, is... The Jaguars drafted Leonard Fournette, I think it was 2017, because they were great on defense. They had a good roster. They were considered one of the best rosters in the NFL. So they thought, let's get this home run running back, complete the roster. The problem is, you know, like you said, a lot of those players are gone, but they're still stuck with a very expensive first round running back. And let me read some of the players they could have gotten instead of Leonard Fournette and just added to those value positions. Jamal Adams plays for the Jets now. Patrick Mahomes, we'll cut him a little slack on that, but they could have got Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. Right. They could have got Marshawn Lattimore as a lockdown corner for the Saints right now. Malik Hooker, free safety in Indianapolis, who I think is pretty solid. They could have got a lot of people, honestly. Those are the best ones. Tre'Davious White was in that draft, a corner from LSU is with Buffalo now. They could have got T.J. Watt, who I think he was Defensive Player of the Year last year in the NFL. Think so. That doesn't actually sound right when I say it, but he might have just been the sack leader or something like that. But very good year from T.J. Watt. They could have got Ryan Ramczyk, the tackle from Wisconsin, plays for the Saints now. Like, they could have got a pass rusher, a cornerback. Multiple cornerbacks are available. Could have got a lot solid offensive linemen. Instead, they drafted a running back because their roster was quote unquote already set. And that's part of the, like, think if they had Jamal Adams or Marshawn Lattimore instead of Leonard Fournette, what a better position they'd be in right now.
Yeah. No, they, you name those quarterbacks, and it's really, really unfortunate that they weren't able to get either of those guys.
Yeah. Think they had Blake Bortles. Why not take Deshaun Watson? Bortles, I honestly get not. Taking like good for Andrew, like kudos to him, because I did not see Patrick Mahomes, and I'll admit that same thing with Lamar Jackson, but I feel like Deshaun Watson was a no-brainer.
Yeah, no, Deshaun Watson made a lot of sense, particularly if you can play him behind Blake Bortles for a year. Maybe even he takes over for Blake Bortles halfway through the year. I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, he's got a better offensive line than the Texans do. You know, he's got that defense to really help him out. Like, that's a team that definitely could have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no. RIP to Jacksonville. But because of those same reasons, if I could be the general manager of any team for the next 5 years, and not counting the 49ers because that's my favorite team, I think it'd be Jacksonville, just because I think they're in the most interesting position to improve themselves, if that makes sense.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, no, they're in a really good spot.
Yeah, man. Let's talk about one or two more teams. Anyone else that stood out to you?
Let me look at different teams. Well, I think there's been a lot of talk on the Packers, and I'm interested to get your take on the Packers, who did not draft a wide receiver, and instead they drafted a quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I get it. You know, it's easier to say not a Packers fan. So I'm a Packer fan. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm pretty pissed off. And honestly, maybe Jordan Love specifically, not a huge fan of. But also I get Aaron Rodgers' play is declining. He's not really a top eight. Last year he was not a top eight quarterback in terms of play, like on the field, according to PFF. You know, we just assume because it's Aaron Rodgers, he's fantastic, but play is declining. And part of that probably is because he doesn't have that great of weapons as many people to get open. But he's also 36, you know. So I don't blame the Packers for looking toward the future and drafting Jordan Love. And Jordan Love, he's the most physically gifted quarterback in terms of arm talent, like making off-platform throws, things like that. He's incredibly gifted, but he also just makes some real dumb decisions. So, and the Packers could have a couple years to get him out of that. I think that's what they're hoping for, because Jordan Love's even more than Joe Burrow. The highest upside quarterback in the draft is Jordan Love. It's just getting there is going to be a nightmare. But I'd be pissed if I was Rodgers, because they traded up to draft a quarterback. In round two, they got a running back who was, I honestly thought, like the seventh or eighth best running back in the draft. And they got him. I think he was the second running back off the board, maybe the third. They got a fullback in the third round. He played tight end in college, but Matt LaFleur said he's going to be in the Kyle Juszczyk role, like a pass-catching fullback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Who else did they get?
A lot of linemen.
Yeah. No, and it's good. And, like, I honestly get the quarterback thing. I honestly do. But I also don't get in the second round getting a receiver, in the third round getting a receiver, or, like, something. Like, just – besides Devontae Adams, who Aaron Rodgers, the last time Aaron Rodgers won the MVP, Devontae Adams was the third receiver on the team. And now he's number one, and he's a deserved number one receiver in terms of talent and production. But, like, there's just a bunch of big, slow dudes who can't get open is their receiving core. That's literally what it is. It's just a bunch of, like, 6'3 guys who can, quote-unquote, win jump balls but can't do anything to separate. And Aaron Rodgers is just, like, throwing it to Devontae Adams and throwing up Hail Marys, you know?
Yeah. No, it is. And you've seen that stat that's been floating around that he, in his career, has thrown one touchdown pass to a first-round pick?
Yeah. And, like, it's, I guess, kudos to the Packers for drafting, like, Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb in later rounds. But I don't see the point in not drafting – and I get the Jordan Love thing, even if it's kind of like how Philadelphia fans with Jalen Hurts, it's easier from the outside to see the logic behind it. But that also doesn't take away if you get a receiver like a Michael Pittman Jr. or KJ Hamler in the first round, that's so much better for this season, you know? And I get why Packers fans, Eagles fans with Jalen Hurts are upset about that.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. It's not that the Jalen Hurts pick it is a bad pick, although I'm not in love with it. It's that we had bigger problems I felt like to deal with.
Yeah. So I'm not a fan. I can't think of worse drafts. I can think of worse picks than, like, Jordan Love specifically, or worse picks than A.J. Dillon specifically. But just not – when you look at the entire thing, it's hard to find a worse draft in the NFL. The 49ers only had, like, 5 picks, so they get an incomplete. So you can argue that was worse just in terms of, like, the actual talent they brought in. But in terms of, like, looking at your roster, looking at the NFL, looking at building for 2020 and for the next 3 years, the next 5 years, the Packers just did not do anything to help themselves. And it's hard to see them getting back to the NFC Championship. I also want to say I know rookies aren't great their first year, so you can't count on rookies to make or break your season. But that being said, you still need some production from these players that are going to be on your roster and taking up roster spots.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I did not like the Packers draft, Matt.
Okay. Well, that's the Packers. And then, you know, this one, obviously, I've heard a lot of analysis before the draft. Less analysis after, and you said you were really intrigued by what they did. So let's hear about Cincinnati. Obviously got Joe Burrow. But then I'm interested in the pieces that they surrounded him with.
Yeah, so I actually thought it was fascinating what they did. So they got Joe Burrow in the first round. Then second round, they got T. Higgins, wide receiver from Clemson. A.J. Green's been hurt a little bit. We don't know his future. And Tyler Boyd is a good receiver. He's like a good number two receiver, but that's it. So T. Higgins is a guy. He doesn't separate as well as some other receivers, but he can go up and get the ball, contested catch guy. So I think that's a good pick, especially because I think Michael Pittman Jr. is a little better, who went, I think, the next pick to the Indianapolis Colts, but still good pick there. And then they got three linebackers, man. They got Logan Wilson from Wyoming, who I love, Akeem Davis-Gaither, I think I pronounced his name right. If I didn't, I apologize, from Appalachian State. And then the seventh round, they got Marcus Bailey from Purdue. Logan Wilson in particular, I'm a big fan of. He was a Wyoming, you know, Wyoming's right next to Utah. So there's, even though they have terrible uniforms, I kind of like, they're rivals with BYU. So maybe I shouldn't like Wyoming as much as I do, but.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's cooled down ever since we haven't been in the same division for a long time.
Yeah. Wyoming hates BYU. But anyway, no, Logan Wilson in particular.
They're not the only school that hates BYU.
I think everyone. Washington, for some reason, hates BYU, like the University of Washington.
Yeah, Washington does not. San Diego State does not. San Diego State one, at least for me, is more mutual. Utah and Utah State obviously do.
New Mexico does not like BYU.
New Mexico. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of New Mexico, that clip where the New Mexico girl pulls down the BYU girl by her ponytail. That's a good YouTube video.
I know. It is a good YouTube video.
Nothing to do with what we're talking about, but it's just funny.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, Logan Wilson, great in coverage. I think I'm 99% sure he played safety or like defensive back in high school, transitioned to linebacker at Wyoming. So I love that because linebacker has been just a bad position for Cincinnati. So I would have liked to see him get – I always like to see a defensive back get taken and a wide receiver get taken. They got T. Higgins. But the three linebackers, I like the idea of just attacking. Like, you know, this has been such a bad position for us. Let's just fix it. And at least a couple of these guys are going to pan out. I think especially Logan Wilson. Akeem Davis-Gaither has some pass rush ability as well. So I probably wouldn't have done it, but I do actually love that strategy of just over, like, this is a terrible position for us. And they actually did address, especially defensive back and free agency a little bit as well. So I like the idea. I think it's curious. I like when teams just kind of take a risk and do something. I guess this isn't unique in that they're the only team to ever do it, but I like the idea of like just attacking a position of weakness or even what the Cowboys did when they drafted CeeDee Lamb. I know this isn't what we're talking about, but like they could have said, we already have Amari Cooper, we already have Michael Gallup. It's like, no, let's get CeeDee Lamb, just add to it. It's kind of the same but opposite philosophy that Cincinnati did here, a linebacker. So I'm intrigued to see how it happens. And Logan Wilson is honestly one of my favorite players that I didn't watch in college, if that makes sense. I wasn't watching the Wyoming Cowboys a whole lot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Short answer is I'm excited. I think it'll be interesting. I think T. Higgins is an interesting pick. I think the linebackers are solid. So we'll see what happens. But I think Cincinnati got better for sure.
Yeah. Well, good. That'll be – I'm excited for them to go to the playoffs every year and not win again. Losing as it should be.
Yeah. Now, the one thing, Matt, before we close, that I didn't understand from the draft, and then we can close. We're almost at 40 here, unless you have anything else we want to talk about for sure. But the Chargers stayed pat, did not trade ahead of Miami to draft Tua. So they just took Justin Herbert at 6. But then they traded up to draft Kenneth Murray. They gave up a second and a third round pick to draft Kenneth Murray, linebacker from Oklahoma, who I love. He's a player, Matt, in my Perfect Prospects article that I wrote, who plays like a puppy in the sense that he flies to the ball, but he sometimes overruns the ball because he's so excited, so instinctive to get there. So great, great linebacker, but does have some issues to clean up. But I just don't get, if you're going to trade up, why not trade up for a quarterback? You know what I mean? Like, if you have the philosophy, stay pat, we don't want to give up the picks. I respect that. I'm all in on that. I wouldn't have drafted Justin Herbert, but I get the philosophy. But don't trade up for a linebacker in the first round if you're not going to trade up for a quarterback, was my thing with the Chargers.
Do you think they would have been able to – I mean, they would have been trading with the Giants, right? Do you think the Giants would have gone for that?
Well, yeah, because they're just moving down to six. So hypothetically, them and like, so the Giants go from 4 to 6, but teams in 4 and 5 are both drafting quarterbacks. For the Giants, it's they get the same player they wanted plus some draft picks.
Right.
Now, yeah. Dave Gettleman, he like hasn't traded since like 2001 a draft pick, so who knows what he would have done. But I think you maybe with Detroit, you could have been likely to do that.
Uh huh. Yeah, that does seem. It's weird, like how Justin Herbert was supposed to be like. He's one of those players who, like, at the beginning of the year, it's like, they're the best quarterback for sure. And then we get to the end of the year, right before the draft, it's like, eh, he might be third. Like, those players usually don't work out well.
I don't get why he's a first-round pick and Jacob Eason is a fourth-round pick. Like, to me, they're the exact same player. Like, I think Justin Herbert he was the number one scholar athlete football-wise in the whole country. So he's got some more like off-field stuff in a positive way than Jacob Eason, I think. But football-wise, they're literally the exact same player. Like, yeah. There's not a first and fourth round difference there. So I don't get why Jacob Eason went in the fourth and we're all in love with Justin Herbert in the sixth round or his sixth overall pick.
Don't know what to tell you. Sometimes we just decide we like a guy and we just can't let go.
They should let me be in charge, Matt.
They should. You seem to make predictions that come true a lot of the time.
Yeah, and I'm wrong sometimes. I'll admit when I'm wrong, like I did with Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, I was way wrong on. But I honestly think most of the time I'm right on these players. Like I said, I think they overcomplicate it. I think they should just make it a little simpler. Is all. Yeah. Yeah. That's where it's not like I was saying Deshaun Watson's going to be terrible. You know what I mean? Yeah. Deshaun Watson was an easy one. Honestly, Deshaun Watson was the easiest one. I don't see how people like just because he doesn't have as big an arm as like Justin Herbert, like if they watched him and met him, I just don't see why you wouldn't want him being the quarterback of your team. Like if they'd heard anything about him, the type of person he is, watched him play and like in those national championship games or any of the games, but especially the national championship games, he just has that. He's like a nice version of Kobe Bryant. You know what I mean? Like, cause he's not going to be a jerk, but he has that like killer mentality on the field. But off the field, he's literally like the most genuine, nicest person, like all the charity work he does and everything like that. Like his family was, the benefit, I don't know of Habitat for Humanity gave them a house. So now he does a ton of stuff with organizations like that. Like there's just nothing to not like about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson deserves so much better than that. But anyway, well, the Texans are going to lose is what they're going to do. But it's been a pleasure. Matt, again, next week we'll have we'll have the dietitian from Texas Tech on the show, which I think we're both really excited about. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some other stuff. Hopefully something happens so we can talk about it next week as well. Matt, do you have any parting words here? Sweet. Yeah, so appreciate it. That's probably the last draft content we're going to get. So RIP to that. We drug it out while we could. Yeah, we really did. But yeah, appreciate it, everybody. And we will talk to you guys next week.